Hello. I totally forgot how to start this podcast. Hello and welcome back to your one and only source. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And did you miss us? Did you miss us? And Phoebe, more importantly, did you miss me?
Yeah, of course.
Phoebe was literally living in an igloo last week. If you noticed, we didn't have any episodes. Some of us did, but there weren't any episodes on Maine from us. And that's because Phoebe didn't have power for like an entire week.
Wait, but that's actually a really good segue into there might not have been episodes on Maine, but there are episodes that you guys could go check out because all of our episodes on Patreon are for sale for $5
each. Yes, they are. So if you're ever like, God, I miss those girls. God, I miss my girls. You can find us. You can actually find us for the price of $5.
I promise you, we don't make ourselves that hard to find.
If you just even think about looking for us, you'll find us. But that's a good segue into, guys, we're restructuring the Patreon, and I actually have cold, hard facts to give you today. So we sort of soft launched the Caroline Show last week. And it was completely unexpected, but also pretty well received. Fee, tell me, what do you think about the Caroline Show?
I liked it. It was funny. I was giggling to myself here.
Were you scared? Were you like biting your teeth? Like, oh my God, what is she going to say? Because guys, no edits. No edits and no Phoebe allowed on the Caroline Show. That's kind of the rules of the Caroline Show, unless Caroline decided to invite Phoebe on the Caroline Show.
Well, you could, like, every yet. So often you could have some guests on.
I considered. So
Kelly,
the reason,
Anthony.
I know, I was like, I mean, honestly, the sky's the limit. I have so many contacts in my network. so many people I know you guys would love to hear from. So formerly tier one of our Patreon was called the Passenger Princesses. It's $3 a month. We're changing that name to Caroline Coded. So this is for you. If you just like can't freaking get enough of me, then that's for you. Then you better.
Oh my God, Patreon just crashed.
Oh my God, Patreon just crashed. I can't believe I'm promoting this and they're not even going to be able to get to the site right now. Oh my God. I mean, I guess I could have seen this coming. Anyway, if you're interested in getting an episode of the Caroline Show every month, which could be literally anything, by the way, it could be me just chatting about whatever. It could be me talking to a friend. It could be me talking about reality TV or pop culture. It could be me like practicing something like a dance. I mean, it could be any, it could be advice. It could be, I could go on and on. I could read a book. It's really whatever you want. I probably wouldn't read a book, just, you know, copyright. But anyway, you will get guaranteed one episode of the Caroline Show. If you join the first tier of the Patreon, you'll get one episode a month. You can let me know what you want. It's also a video. And then you'll also get every single episode that we've ever put on our Patreon underneath that tier. So I want to say it's like over 50 episodes in that tier. I don't know.
Feasible.
But there are tons of episodes. A lot of them have video. So it's not like you're just getting that one episode a month. You have all of those. And then you also get added to our close friend story on Instagram. And then tier two is going to be called, drum roll please, Phoebe was a percussion person, so she is good at that. It's called Other People's Business, and it's exactly what it sounds like. We're going to talk about other people's business. If you're missing the like Tuesday pop culture moments, then this is for you. This tier is for you. This is coming in at $6 a month.
And guys, I mean, it's also coming in at a time where Summer House is starting. We're in the throw of the Traitor season.
And like, if you like, we're always going to do like a little bit of pop culture talking and like sister talking on here because that's who we are, even if you fucking hate that. That's always going to happen. But if you really like want to hear our in-depth thoughts and also like a little bit more uncensored things you might not have said on Maine, that's the place. And it's video. So you also get tier one. So you get the Caroline Show, all those episodes. You get Other People's Business episode. And then you also get all the episodes underneath tier two, which is like Pretty Little Punch Bowl and podcasts and whatever. So that's like 100+ episodes. And you could buy an episode for $5, or you could just join the second tier for $6 and get like 100 episodes or more. And counting. Anyway, and then you could quit after a month or forget, which, you know, would be better for us. Anyway, and then our top tier is changing a little bit. So it's still going to be called Honorary Connell Sisters, but on this top tier, we're going to offer your one and only Source episodes, the Gossip Girl recaps, and Tuesday episodes ad free. So if you don't want to hear me slinging BetterHelp, then that's where you would go. You would go to that top tier. And then you also get everything I just mentioned, and you get all the pilot recaps we've ever done and like any of our top tier episodes as well. And then also we're lowering the price from $12 a month to $9 a month. So, I mean, guys, talk about a freaking bargain.
While the prices in the world are going up, we're bringing ours down.
Look at us. Look at us. I mean, don't say we're not listening. So anyway, if you are like, oh my God, I gotta get there, you can go, like, it's probably linked in this episode description. It's on our social media. You can go join. It's definitely worth it. You get a lot of us. If you like us, you get a lot of it. And then if you're already a member, you'll stay in your tier. So if you don't want to stay, if you don't like this new structure, that is okay. But you're going to have to go cancel it because we can't do that for you. So you heard it here first. I'm telling you, go cancel it if you don't like what we're doing now. And then if you're in the top tier and you want to stay, you'll just be charged less money a month. So that's that. Oh, okay. God, I hate being a saleswoman. But sometimes you have to be, you know, you're always selling yourself. And in this case, I really am with the Caroline Show, No Phoebe Allowed.
Okay. Caroline's a little too excited about it, I think.
I actually was terrified to suggest that as a solution to Phoebe last week, because I always think if I suggest, like, if there are times we're having scheduling issues and I'm like, I could do a solo episode or something.
Can you guys believe? Think about the last 2 months of the podcast. Can you guys believe there are ever...
Us?
There are ever moments where we struggle to record the podcast.
That's insane. Yeah, we have been off to a little bit of a rocky start. We're forces out of our control, like 99% of the time. So, you know, we're sorry, but also, like, we're victims. And you should know that. And you guys actually are, like, the most understanding people ever. I want you to know I'm in some Reddit groups for other podcasts, and these fans, like, rip these people apart. Like, if they upload a few minutes too late, they're like, wow, I would love an update if the episode's coming 5 minutes late because I count on it for my morning commute. It's the only thing that I'll listen to. I can't drink coffee, can't stand the taste unless I'm listening to this. And they didn't warn us, and I think I was honestly unfair. And it's like, I'm just going to be thinking about who I give my streams. Like, literally, there will be a whole post that says that. And then people comment, like, it's finally like someone said it. Like, yeah, like, it's crazy. And I'm like, okay, well, listen to your one and only Source and also chill out, you know, but don't bring that energy here. So I really do appreciate you guys always being like,
and thank you guys for,
you're fine,
the well wishes.
Yeah, so many people were worried about you. I was kind of like, hello, hello, it's me here getting these messages, not her. Why don't you say, start the message with, Caroline, you look gorgeous, and I'll definitely open it, and then say what you need to say, okay, if you want to get my attention. But yeah, I was honestly super duper worried about Phoebe last week, and she was like, as you would expect, pretty nonchalant about the whole thing. Let me tell you, would not have been the same vibe if it had been me. How did you fare?
I was fine. You know, I think
were you not freezing? Were you not shivering every night?
I mean, it was cold, but my apartment doesn't get that warm.
Phoebe's like, girl, I have a Barefoot Dreams blanket. Like,
well, I really figured out my blanket situation in my bed. So, like, truly, before I would get out of bed in the morning, I was warm.
Wow.
You know, I just slept bundled, but then I put my Barefoot Dreams blanket on the bed, laid on top of that. So it's working like a convection oven is the analogy I used.
Wow, wow, wow.
It's heating me from the bottom up. And then...
then it's not, I like, had we were Uggs.
Yes, and then I had my couch blanket on. Normally it doesn't leave the couch, but it had to. And then I had my my Lola blanket.
Comforter. Lola blanket. Damn. Okay, we're racking up a bill.
And
then
I have a gray blanket that's normally under my comforter. had that on. And then I had my comforter. And then I have another blanket.
Okay, she was fucking fine. Okay, I'm over that. She was fucking fine.
I was like a bear in hibernation. You know what I mean? Like, I just didn't really leave my bed.
Honestly, epic. I was like, Phoebe, were you prepared for this? She's like, no. I'm like, oh my God. I was like, okay. She's absolutely, number one, she's going to keep going to her. She goes, I'll go to the car when I need to charge my phone. I'm like, oh my God, that sent a chill down my spine. I'm like, okay, she's going to go to the car to charge her phone. I guarantee you, tank's not full. I guarantee you she didn't prep by filling up her tank, as they tell you to do. And the car is going to run out of gas. And then when the snow even clears, she's not going to be able to go anywhere. And so she's going to go back in her house. She's going to run out of food because she wasn't prepared for this. She literally told me that. And she's going to shiver, freeze into a block of ice. We're not going to be able to contact her. No phone. Phone's dead because the car didn't have gas. I was like, this is a disaster. I was so stressed out. And Phoebe's like, not responsive. Phoebe didn't respond to me or my mom in a timely fashion once last week. We're like, okay, she's got hypothermia and her fingers
it just
off. Like,
you know, I felt like I was fine. I went down, did my work.
And Phoebe's like, I feel like I'm fine and I don't need it. And it's no one else's business. It's no one else's business how I'm doing.
What I will say is it is the craziest thing I've ever seen. Anthony kept messaging me like, are we going to game? And I'd be like, because he gave me the Switch and he can't wait to freaking play. And I was like, yeah. Anthony, I can't.
Also,
I cannot.
I do too, by the way.
And then he would be like, that's crazy. I can't believe that. And I'd be like...
He's like, that would not be happening if I was there. He didn't say that.
Spoken like a true northerner, which was me before the storm, which was me leaving work saying, guys, I don't think it's going to be that bad.
You're like, I don't know. It's just drizzling.
And it wasn't. It snowed, but it was kind of beautiful and cozy before the lights went out.
Yeah,
it was beautiful and cozy.
The videos were like so scary.
It like snowed all day Saturday and then overnight into Sunday, it turned into sleet and rain. So everything just froze and the ice weighed down the trees and the branches and the power lines, but also made a lot of the trees explode. There were frost quakes happening.
Didn't know that could happen.
Me either. But I was saying that to people. I was like, I thought I knew what a winter storm could do. I did not know this was an option.
Exactly.
And I'm from the north. But I think
it must just be that the type of trees that grow down there.
But I was driving... I went to the movies on Saturday. Perfect day, by the way. And I saw one tree that was like massive, old, really mature tree that had been completely uprooted. I mean, if I had been standing next to where it was laying now, it was the size of me, the trunk. You know what I mean? And it looked like a hobbit.
Not saying much. That is not saying much.
Well, why don't we ask Anthony? Because last night, Anthony was very kind and helped me build a budget.
Oh, I'm so scared about what you're about
to
say.
It's actually not that. Don't be scared. It's just funny. We were laughing so hard. Okay. He goes to Google 25-year-old.
Phoebe's literally like, okay, Anthony, get behind me. I'm going to tell her what you did, but I'm going to protect you from whatever happens next. That's happening right now.
He goes into, and he's sharing his screen so I can see the Google search.
Did he forget?
And he searches 25-year-old woman... average, and the first option that comes up is weight. And I said, is that what you're Googling? And he was Googling salary
my God, Phoebe, you just got my heart rate so freaking high. My heart was in my throat.
You were laughing.
I mean,
so
I knew that couldn't be the man I married. I knew that that was actually impossible. But I was worried you were gonna be like, yeah, we went through like my transactions and he was Googling 25 average 25-year-old like amount of money to spend on food per month or something to like help you make a budget. And
well,
you were gonna,
I
like,
did.
Take that
I was
personally.
Like, he kept asking me these numbers and I was like, Anthony,
you're
I
like, that's
don't want to tell
not
you
your business. I know. So,
he's like, well,
yeah.
just like ballpark it. And I'm like, okay,
that's a trap. I'm like,
okay,
nice
Anthony,
try.
If I'm being, okay, just picture for a second, I'm being super, super generous. Like, this
okay,
is
so
like, give
this
or take,
is why
this
the
is
call
like,
took 2 hours, by the way, because Phoebe had to put so many qualifiers in front of me. She's like, let's just say, in a perfect world, she has all of this before she ever gets to a number.
I'm like, okay, on a really bad month, maybe $400 a month.
She's like,
a takeout.
How bad's my period? Like, I don't know. Like, who released an album? I don't know. Like, it depends. Oh my God. Well, anyway, I don't want to piss anybody off. So
well, we haven't started talking about the episode yet. So
I know that's what I'm saying. I just
no, but that's what I mean. So it's not in the middle. I got this out of the way.
But like that's still gonna happen, by the way. And it's okay. I know we've got some new listeners because we're doing a different show. We're attracting new audience. And I do want you guys to know that like kind of part of our thing is like tangents. Like that is not gonna really go away, because if you don't like it, you're the minority there, unfortunately. Like that is sort of what that's sort of our claim.
It's something I feel like that used to worry us a lot when we started. Yeah. So we were more aware of it, and then people would comment
people like
and say
more
that
of
they
that, please.
It.
Yeah. So that has that's not it's really gonna go thing. Away. And I understand if it's not for you. But if you're like, I like this podcast, I like when they talk about the show, but like, I don't know what they're talking about in the in between, then honestly, what I'm going to advise you to do is like, go listen
read
to
up.
The Pretty Little Podcast. Read up, study, beat. I was going to say biatch, and then I was going to say, and it just didn't happen.
You totally glitched.
I glitched. Okay, I glitched out. Yeah, but anyway, so I'm just saying, like, I appreciate your point of view on this. I understand it's not for everybody, but like, that's a sign that maybe you don't know us yet, and that's kind of just part of the thing. So if you want to be part of the in on the jokes, you just kind of have to go listen back a little bit. But I do want to make like a social media graphic getting into it, and I always say that, but it's just like a lot of work. And once I start thinking about it, I'm like, none of this is, who cares? Like, so honestly, fan made, please. Can we get a fan made something about, because like, I don't know, it's hard to look in the mirror and be like, what's the most beautiful thing about me, you know?
Like all the lore, like stack up like every inside joke from the Pretty Little Podcast.
Yeah, you know who really should be doing this is Megan Albatross. Because she kind of is doing it. Our group chat with her is kind of... She has dreams about us weekly. Just kidding. And I have no idea. I'm like, how are you still listening? Like, how do you still have episodes? Like, I don't know where the hell she is in the podcast.
She is simultaneously flying through episodes and also listening at a snail's pace.
She's savoring it. Maybe she's listening on 0.5. And that's why it's just taking... Like, she's going through them fast, but, like, she's listening to them slow. Yeah, anyway. Okay. Well, if you've ever had a dream about us, let us know. But let's talk about it. So this is season one, episode 8 of Gossip Girl, called 17 Candles.
Whoa. Hey, that's my job.
I'm sorry. You're right. I totally forgot that, because you've been kind of slacking on your job over the past week. Did you guys notice the Caroline Show wasn't even edited?
Imagine if you had recorded them and then you're like, okay, they're in Riverside.
I'm like, expecting you to. I should have. Were you not so shocked by what Blair's birthday party was?
It was just an ad for Guitar Hero.
Exactly. I was like, what?
I can't wait till we get to the part about Sabrina playing Guitar Hero and seeing Caroline's
for 5 whole minutes.
Seeing Caroline's impression of her doing it.
Oh my God. Like, I mean, she was lost in the freaky music. Anyway, so the episode starts with like, honestly, I was having more flashbacks at this point, because we get like a Catholic church montage, because Blair's going to go to confession. And she started off confession the exact same way I started off confession, famously at the Vatican. So... And you know what I noticed? The priest didn't basically set her on fire. The priest actually was kind of like nice about it.
Yeah, he was.
And I'm just saying, maybe things could have been different. But anyway, Blair's going to confession. And why?
She lost her freaking V card.
Yeah, you could say she lost her freaking V card. Blair's not a lily white virgin anymore, okay? No, she's not. Blair's actually like
a super slut
now. And that is not derogatory. And if you think it is, check yourself. And if you think it
is, Cotty and
welcome
is later.
To 2026. What'd you say?
That's what Cotty and Iz later have one of my favorite lines in the whole episode.
They're funny in this episode. I'm also like, Cotty
what are
and
they
Iz
wearing?
Threw this party. Why didn't Serena throw this party?
I'm also like, why are they the only ones in costume?
Well, they kind of always are. They're like the evil stepsisters in a Cinderella
story.
No,
but they're never in like full, like actual
But the 100%. Accents are there.
Yeah,
like the pink and green chocolate phones. Like,
no, but they're in a sailor outfit.
Well, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I saw a guy in a fedora.
That's not a costume.
That feels costume-ish to me.
not a costume.
Well, I guess it depends on who's wearing it.
But Caroline, be for real. They are in costumes. They're the only ones in costumes.
Okay. I mean, that's true. But I'm also like, maybe that was just like the style of the time. You don't know.
No, but Caroline, what I'm saying is, that's my question. What is the theme of this party? And why is this Blair's? Like, what is happening that they are the only ones in costume? Blair's maybe not in costume. It's Blair's party. But it's at Cody's brother's house. Weird thing that they introduced. Do you think the
anime that was projected on the wall has something to do? It was like Sailor Moon?
Oh, maybe. Maybe. But it's just bizarre that they don't ever reference that. And then it is also like, this is Blair Waldorf's party.
Yeah. It was a shock to me. And she walked in and it was so pumped about it. I was going to say punked.
Okay, guys. On? I think Caroline decided not to record tonight and sent an AI up here.
Wait, good news. Dad is freaked out about the AI social media. He doesn't like it.
Thank God.
I'm like thrilled. I know. He was like, wait, Goo, did you hear that the AI built like their own Facebook? And I was like, yeah. And it's like,
and we're not allowed on it.
Well, and he goes, and then they said the humans are screenshotting us. So they built a CAPTCHA. He goes, you know what a CAPTCHA is? Yeah, I'm 30.
It's crazy that we've actually gotten to the point where a CAPTCHA is like, are you making sure you're not a human?
Literally, and that's what it is, you guys. It says, are you not a human? And the test is you have to click like 10,000 times in 1 second. And that's how they tell if you're a human or not.
I could freaking get in there.
I was like, you know who probably could? Anthony DeAngelis. Just give him a few minutes to practice. Like,
and then he's going to become their freaking leader.
Oh, God. Honestly, good for me. If so, we could really dismantle it from the inside. But I mean, and that would make history anyway. And I'd be the lady M behind him, pulling all the strings, making mm-hmm. history, if you will. The history books will write about me. But then Dad, I was like, I don't like that. So we can't see anything they're saying. He goes, I don't like it either. And I said, this is the best news I've heard all day.
Yes. Well, I'll never forget one time Dad showed me a picture from Facebook of like Bruce Springsteen. He was like, he reunited with this girl from a music video at a concert.
He's riding like, a dolphin or something.
They're like fully like posing, like superimposed, like above the stage. But it like is supposed to look like he brought her up on stage, but the spacing is off and he shows it to me. And it's clearly one of those like, it's not even like the photorealistic AI. It's like a little bit cartoon looking, but it looks real enough.
He's like and not Dad's wearing like, his reader, so he's
and Dad
no idea.
Did get he got so embarrassed.
Wait, really?
When I was like, Dad, that's AI.
I can't believe you just told that story on the podcast then. So mean. Dad, was like, I would never was do
like,
that to you.
He was like, no, it's not. And I was like, Dad, yes, look at the font.
At least it was you having to break that news to him and not our other sibling, because can you imagine that? Would not have gone the same way. Anywho, okay, so Blair is confessing to having sex with Chuck in confession. She says, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been a while since my last confession, which, you know,
so
maybe
Caroline
I
was
maybe
just, I was just cosplaying.
I was just doing what Blair Waldorf would do. Everyone's always like, what would Blair Waldorf do? And I'm like, this. Anyway, here's what she says, and it's hilarious. She goes, after being broken up with my boyfriend for exactly 20 minutes, I succumbed to inebriation, performed at a speakeasy, and surrendered my virtue to a self-absorbed ass. And that is the most beautiful confession I've ever heard. The priest is just like...
priest is like tearing up behind the veil. Yeah.
And she says that she's not even
Catholic.
Hey,
by the way, I always wanted to... have my confession behind the veil. Why didn't we get to pick?
Wait, you always had to do face to face?
Like in CCD it would be
not
like
me.
Either face to face or yeah. like back to back. But if
okay,
you were
yeah.
wait, this is the worst. If you're back to back, that means that you're actually on the altar. On a stage.
I know, and everyone's looking at you and you're in the
on
center.
A stage confessing. And it's like
I had to do that. I had
churches
to do
famously echo.
But they, I hated that. They famously, especially this one. Well, they would be like, here's the line for face to face. Here's the line for behind the veil. And it would be like, if you didn't get there at exactly the right time. Like, I remember one time I was like, oh, I want to go in this line. And my teacher was like, no, you just need to go in this line. Like, you'll be fine. And I was like, no.
Can you imagine all the parents are like, what are these kids having to confess that they are like petrified?
I'm like, well, how about that? You don't have to have anything to confess to be petrified of confession. It's crazy that they make children do that.
It is wild. But especially when they don't treat it
like
it's
like kids don't register the fact that it's like supposed to be a gift. Kids are like, you're just making me think about everything I did wrong. And I think I'm going to get in trouble.
Exactly.
You know? Anyway, exactly. So.
But this priest actually does something that I think would be a good thing for other priests to do, which is before he gives her like her penance. I don't even think he gives her penance, but like, because she's like, what's my punishment? He gives her food for thought
because she's not a Catholic. And she tells him that. And again, he doesn't light her on fire.
And he's like, well, let's talk through why you made those decisions, basically. Like, let's work on the things that made you make that decision that you're feeling really badly about. And how can we adjust our sails?
He says, don't drink, keep your clothes on, and avoid people who might cause you to stray. And then she's like, okay, great. And she gets up to leave. And she's like, wait a minute, do you do birthday wishes?
I'm a genie, not a priest, babe.
I'm a genie, not a priest, babe, is what you just said. And that is that. I'm a genie, not a priest, babe. Okay. That's what I'm going to be saying from here on out. When someone tries to like, you know, ask me for like, to like absolve them of their sins and stuff, I'll be like, I'm a genie, not a priest, babe.
Well, I did love the line when she says, I'm not even a Catholic. And he says, you don't say.
But again, not really judgmental at all. It's like, okay, this is what it's...
He's reading the room.
Could be like place. Exactly. But anyway, she says, okay, well, next time you talk to him, would you ask him to send my boyfriend back to me? And then she leaves and we see two people who maybe do need to go to confession because...
Oh my God, guys, jump scare. This is vile.
Serena and Dan are like in each other's laps, tongues down each other's throats in the middle of a coffee shop. Empty, by the way, except for, of course, one Vanessa Abrams.
That I don't believe Serena didn't notice.
I don't believe Serena's like, let's go in here. I looked up where she works. Let's go in here. I don't believe any of them didn't notice any of them. I mean, well, I don't believe Dan and Serena walked in and Vanessa didn't see.
Definitely not. Vanessa sees Dan. Vanessa would be
like, wait, is that Dan's smell? Yeah, he smells like burlap and tobacco. I love it. I love his smell.
And a little bit of sweat.
And a little bit of Head and Shoulders. He's not fancy. And I love that. Head and Shoulders Antsy Dandruff shampoo, because that one time he had dandruff and I was playing with his hair and I was like, you have lice. And he was like, it's just dandruff. And I was like, let's go get you some Head and Shoulders. So I went to the Duane Reade and we did. And anyway, I love that about him. So that was Vanessa.
She makes eye contact with Dan. And Dan, while he is kissing Serena, says, Vanessa. And Serena goes, Serena.
Which was funny. She's like, Dan. And I was like, actually, you should have gotten way more mad about that. You should have slapped him. I would have loved a slap right there. Anyway, Vanessa has apparently told Dan that she works here, but he, quote, doesn't remember. I'm like, okay, well, Dan, you're being a little messy. I don't believe you don't remember that. Like, you're being a little bit messy by and to be not acting remembering.
Like this in here.
You're low-key bragging, and I think you know it, because you are a gossip girl. So you actually do love that... Everyone knows you're with Serena. Like, you love, like, as much as you want to say you don't, you keep posting about yourself on Gossip Girl. So you must love that people are looking out for you, know you're with her. So, like, yeah, you kind of want to be seen with her. And I don't believe you didn't know. And Vanessa asks what they did last night. And Serena's like, Dan, you told her? She's so pissed that he said they were going to be doing it.
And Vanessa's being so weird. She's like, well, I'm just going to like pretend I didn't know what you guys might have done. And oh, you did do it. And she's like, the way this whole conversation is going, it's like, you're not his ex-girlfriend.
Exactly. And you also know exactly what you're doing. Like, you're both. Serena, for once, is the only person who's really not being messy, unless she did lead them into this coffee shop. You know, like, she doesn't know about Brooklyn. So I don't believe that. Dan and Vanessa are both being really messy, I think. Because I would be, if I were Serena, I would be like, yeah, fuck this girl. Like, you know what I mean? I would be so annoyed. And she,
I wouldn't be playing Guitar Hero with her later.
I would be, but only so I could do what Serena did and like really be so much better and like dance around and like might as well like put on a show. She's like, I heard Blair dance at a speakeasy, so I'm going to be dancing at Blair's birthday party. Like a rock star, actually.
She rehearsed an entire strip tease, but she gets there and sees Guitar Hero and she's like, oh.
She's like, this will do. I forgot I'm one of the guys. I totally forgot I'm not like other girls. And she's like, I bet Vanessa doesn't shred on the guitar. And Vanessa's like, actually, Serena, I do. Yeah, I play the ukulele is my number one choice, but yeah, I strum. Anywho, I just think it's like, that's why Vanessa's so hated, is because out of the gate, she was like that trope of the boyfriend, like the boyfriend's girl best friend, mm-hmm. that like people make TikTok characters about,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So it's like, they really just, if they wanted Vanessa to be likable ever, they really needed her disservice by having her come in so hot like this. Because they obviously want us to love Serena.
And she needed to immediately be, like, excited for Dan.
Yes. Like, she needed, yeah, exactly. And she just doesn't, like, she doesn't play it, like,
innocent. There's nothing likable about her.
No, and there's nothing innocent about what she's saying. Like, I just don't ever believe, because of her delivery, I don't believe she doesn't know what she's doing, you know?
Exactly. And, like, when, later on, when she's, like, egging Dan on before they go to the party, and like she's like, well, I thought we weren't doing anything tonight, like all these, it's like everything is a competition. Yes. And like, I don't,
everything,
it's
sounds so like combative, like it's,
yes,
just, I,
everything's a,
like,
fight,
yeah, like she has like, or like an edge in her voice, and maybe she just really has her guard up, but it's like, if you two were actually as close as you want us to believe you are, then like, I don't know. So Blair's leaving church. She's feeling forgiven. She's low key. This is like the definition of walking on air.
That's so true.
Don't you think?
But it's immediately, her balloon is immediately popped because someone's following her.
Yes. A limo, a very special limo, pulls up next to her. I do just have to say, like, I love this episode for Chuck and Blair. Did it not at all give you, like,
at the end?
Yeah.
At the very end.
When you, yeah, exactly.
And the scene where he's talking to Nate.
Yeah. Well, when he goes and he moves the gift bag, I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. I mean, we know what's coming. So we're like bracing ourselves, and we don't want to let ourselves get too into it. But it's like, just remember the chokehold this was like having us all in at the time. Like when they were rolling this out week by week, this episode,
yeah,
it was honestly giving the way that we're like, give us more Brie and Wrigley. I feel like it was like, and like, tell me,
speaking
lies.
Of, I have an episode to watch. I can't wait.
Dude,
watching it after this.
Brutal.
Thank
watch.
God. Because can I say something? I thought last week was kind of lackluster.
It was kind of boring. And then when it got to the last scene, I literally was like, ah!
What was the last episode? Blocked it out of my brain.
Guys, if you're watching Tell Me Lies, literally message us. And if you're not watching it, you better start. It's so good. Anyway. Okay, so... But it's just like a cute episode for them. And
it's the day before Blair's birthday, we find out, and she's like, she wants nothing to do with Chuck anymore. She wants to forget it.
I've been given orders practically from God himself to avoid you. Such a good line.
I really loved when he's like, I've been replaying everything that happened in my head over and over again. And she goes, okay, this is very actually Dakota Fanning and Uptown Girls. Well, erase the tape, because yes, as far as I'm concerned, it never happened. And it's giving,
Mary,
it's giving,
get
take a
room,
a look around.
Do you, what did she say? Do you see her anywhere?
Why can't we get it right now?
Get
take
a broom.
Look around.
And she says, I don't work for you, I work for your mom. Take a look around. News flash, you're not gonna about, yeah, something about, do you see her anywhere? News flash, you're not gonna. That's,
and that is the same tone as how Blair says,
yes,
well, erase the tape.
It's it's so good. And so she's on her way to the jeweler, because it's the tradition on the day before her birthday
this
to go to the
so
jeweler.
I'm going to start doing this. I'm actually surprised Mimi Perry, my best friend in the whole world, doesn't
do
this.
It is like a very Mimi thing to do. Yes, for sure.
We already know what we're doing for her 25th birthday.
Which is in April?
No, it's next year. She has another birthday.
Epic. I fucking love that. Anyway, so she puts pieces on hold for her mom, and Chuck cuts her off, and he's like, Nate probably like isn't going to be singing you happy birthday this year. And Blair is going to try to hide the fact that they broke up because she wants to fix it. She really doesn't want anything to do with Chuck. And she tells him, she's like, I don't think Chuck or Nate would still be your best friend if he knew. And Chuck says, if he knew how much I enjoyed the removal of a certain chastity belt in the back of this very limo. And then Shion invites him for her birthday party. Podcast. And Chuck seems genuinely like sad. Like he's like, wait.
But then he's like, wait, that's never stopped me before. What I was going to say is by the time this podcast is over, like by the time we're done with all of it, Caroline's Chuck impression is just going to be like, it's going to be like the grandma in SpongeBob. It's going to be like,
it's going to be exactly. It's going to, you're not going to hear a thing. Something like that. Wait, I did my Sid impression. Sid, our dog, by the way, if you don't know, our family dog. I did my Sid impression for Anthony the other day. And he was like, God, that is seriously just Sid. He was like, that's
so good. And guys, like,
when he's like, let me warm Sid? I have to like really generate the saliva to guys, get that like Sid kind does of this gargly thing. Effect.
Like the Tasmanian devil. Like
it
I don't
really, there's no other way to describe it.
It is, or like a Bowser. Like, he is a cartoon like a
demon
character.
From hell. Okay, we'll say it. but then he's like such a sweet little dog. But like he's not, when you hear it coming, you're like, oh my and God.
Like, how does he know how to make that noise? How does he make that noise? How does any of it work? But the thing about Sid is he does.
Consistently creates that.
He has one of the most distinct dog personalities I think I've ever met.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, of course, next to Drama.
Yeah, it's Drama and Sid. But like Snoop, it's like he's anxiety is his personality.
Yeah, he's just anxiety from inside
but
out.
Like Sid, like we know he has a map, we know he's a to-do list, we know he has
we
an
know
alarm
he's
set.
Employed he's gainfully employed, of course. And self-employed. We know he has hobbies and he collects things. Like we know these things about him. He has genuine interests and goals. So we go to Brooklyn. Rufus is pouring coffee and Jenny walks in with my former acting and dance teacher Susie Meisner playing Alice.
It sucks that she's so unlikable in this.
Worst character, but so pretty and such a great actress.
Yeah, she's very good.
One of the nicest people who ever walked the earth. And she was also, fun fact, Pop in Chicago the movie.
Guys, sorry. Here's another freaking tangent. If these aren't for
Whitney
you,
Leavitt.
This podcast isn't for you.
Yeah.
Whitney Leavitt. I was relatively surprised by how good she sounded in some of the clips I saw.
I'm going to sound really mean here, but I did feel like I was like, okay, we've got some first night jitters, of course. Which is like, it's fine.
Here's how I know she's, to the layman, she sounds good.
Yes.
Is all of the comments were, well, of course she's lip syncing.
I noticed that too. That's why I think I'm being mean.
And then all these people are commenting back, like, clearly you don't understand how Broadway works. You don't get to do that.
Yeah. Like, I was watching it and I just was like, no offense, but the caliber of the performance felt very, like, you know, high school Jimmy Awards. Like, maybe not even as good, but it's like, you know what I mean? Like good, of course, mm-hmm. good, but not... There's a big difference
not good
between
enough
like
for
a
me
Broadway
to think she was lip syncing.
Yeah, no. I mean, I didn't think for 1 second she was lip syncing.
No, but that's what I'm saying. People commenting. Surely she's lip syncing.
I mean, they're being supportive. Good for her. And let's be real, like the Roxy has like it's always a gimmick role, you know? So it's like whatever, but if you've seen Chicago not on Broadway. If you've seen like a tour of Chicago and you've seen like Broadway caliber artists and a non like gimmick Roxy, it's like, well, you know, you
I thought it was sweet to see all of them there. And I loved the video of her leaving where did you see the video of her like popping out of the sunroof and like waving to all the fans as the car like
makes
pulled
me
away.
Email, like, God, what a
so
dream.
Pretty and cute
good for her. Anyway. Okay. Back to this. So there's this awkward moment of, Rufus and Allison like greeting each other, and Jenny brought her mom back because she wants Rufus and Allison to talk, and she seems really hopeful. I'm like, this is okay. Talk about parentified children, because between Jenny and Dan,
oh my God,
like,
what Dan says, what she says to Dan later, I know.
When he's like, I don't want to do that. Like, yeah, I really liked his response. I was like, and that's the response of a man who's been in therapy. So. I don't know that he has, but it sounds that way when he said that. So Rufus is like, Jenny, let's go talk. He like brings her in a room and she's like, I just, you know, wanted to like help and whatever. And I don't think that you guys will make up if you're not in the same room. And she's like, will you give it a chance? And he goes, not on an empty stomach. It's like,
oh,
okay.
My God. AI gate gets worse. Not on a...
I was hoping you didn't notice it.
Of course I did. Robot. Clanker.
Of course I passed your CAPTCHA.
Nuts and you bolts over here.
You know what a CAPTCHA is?
Oh, wait, sorry. I don't want to trigger you.
Ask me that.
I don't want to trigger you.
I was like, a cap? Yeah, I don't want a CAPTCHA.
You mean the thing
is
that every human on Earth has to click to enter any website, basically?
I was like, do you know what it is? Because you're asking me like it's not like something I see every single day. Like, so are you thinking of something else that would be mysterious that I wouldn't know about?
Hey, like, yeah, I'm gonna have a nightmare about that. I really don't like that they've created a CAPTCHA. It's really giving Matrix. Okay, well,
I know. I'm like, hey, by the way, guys, everyone saw this coming. So why did we still go there? Like,
every person who's ever made any sort of futuristic art has predicted that this is what robots would do.
Have you ever seen Meet the Robinsons? Like, just wondering.
I have a big head and little arms. I did not know Caroline got down with Meet the Robinsons like that.
Well, I used to do like way better impression of that line because it was always on like the Disney Channel previews and mom would be like, do it again. She thought it was so funny. So like I got really good at that. Or maybe you guys thought it was funny. I don't know. What?
Little circus monkey.
Okay, I'm getting self-conscious.
About what?
About how much we're talking about other stuff. I'm just like,
whatever.
See the headlines now. Anyway, so he goes out.
Keep us out of the press. Keep us freaking
come on.
Out of the press.
Can I have some privacy? Like some semblance of privacy, please. Rufus and Jenny go out to the kitchen and Allison is whipping up waffles and it's like, okay, you made yourself at home real quick.
Also, hey, if I'm Rufus, I'm immediately in an even worse mood if I see you going through my things.
I'm like, this is not my sous chef. Right, you are not my sous chef anymore. You're someone else's sous chef now, so I work alone. I work solo. It's crazy. And then he's like, they're just speaking in riddles because Allison's like, you still like waffles, right? And it's like, everyone fucking likes waffles. And Rufus goes, you know me, Al. I'm a loyal guy. Once I commit to something, I stick with it. Okay. Ooh. This is going to be a fun
Jenny
day.
Jenny may as well act like she's in a Disney Channel original TV show and go, ooh.
Jenny, yeah, she might as well act like herself and go like, ooh, I hope there's not a spell that involved. I'm your daughter. It's what I do.
And then she takes a bite of a waffle and like walks away.
Yeah. She's like, by the way, these are great, mom. Great waffle, mom. Anyway, so Blair gets home. She's like, oh my God, should I call Nate? Should I not? And sees her mom and Eleanor is like, have you seen the newspapers? And she just slams down the newspaper and it's Captain Nate Ann. I kept writing down the name Emily, but her name's Ann. Ann Archibald.
This is me and Caroline on Friday morning when we're all over the papers for a tangent.
Yeah, this is us. This is a look into the crystal ball, if you will. Okay, this is going
to
be
this is Mimi
morning.
Showing up to my house with a newspaper. You guys are at it again with the freaking tangents.
God, I was expecting better of you this time. So we find out, well, we knew, but they find out that the captain's being charged with embezzlement and fraud. And Eleanor's like, this is going to fuck up my deal with Bendel's. And Blair's like, poor Nate, this is the perfect opportunity to earn my way back in.
Caroline's seeing it in that way. And I'm like, she's being sweet.
Well, I just know what's actually happening. I mean, she is partially being sweet, but it's also like, oh, my God. Perfect. I can ask how I can help.
That's true. So we go to the law office with the captain and the lawyer is basically like, hey, buddy, you better start taking this fucking seriously.
Yes. And he's like, everything's just a misunderstanding. Why is the captain like not that good of an actor? Everything's just a misunderstanding.
Because he's an adult actor playing a parent. A secondary parent on a CW TV show.
With a coke addiction. So he's like, I'm just acting like a coke addict. This is just how coke addicts act. By the way, okay, I cannot do another tangent because I was about to ask how Breaking Bad's going and I'm not going to. We'll text about it. Okay, moving on.
I actually think I might be on the last episode.
Oh my God. Okay, moving on. So Nate's like, hey, by the way, can everybody just be fucking real for a second? Hey, can everyone come back down to reality with me?
He's like, what are we going to do? Are we going to take a plea deal or what?
Yeah, he's like, so dad, how long are you getting locked up? How long are you in the slammer, dad? Daddy-o?
His mom is like, Nate, get out of here.
He's like, Your father is not going to prison, of course. That's why rich people don't go to prison, of course. That's what she says.
And she does
say, I'm doing impressions of everyone today, and I'm low-key killing it. That's what Anne Archibald sounds like.
And if you've never seen this show, just, you don't have to now.
You don't actually have to, because... And that's the other thing about the tangent comment, is like, girl, don't act like we don't give you every single second of these episodes. Like, you're getting plenty, okay? Anyway, yeah, but so the lawyer's like,
she's like, Nate, get out of here. We're not doing a plea deal. This is a conversation for adults. And it is like, finally, we've said that to him. You were ready to ship him off, like, to rehab and all these other things. So he's, and you're about to make him handle the situation and put all that pressure on him to make sure his dad still has a business.
It's, I mean, like, talk about all these children.
You can't pick,
like,
and choose when you treat him like an adult.
It's almost giving mo money, mo problems. It's almost giving that energy, you know? So anyway, we're back at the loft. Dan walks in, jump scare, sees his family at the table eating breakfast, and he goes, just one question. Am I the only one who thinks this is extremely weird?
I was half expecting him to walk in, see his mom, and immediately do a 180 spin back at the door.
We get it. We get a sound effect. He just leaves. Yeah. And Jenny's like, Dan, shut the fuck up and sit down and eat a fucking waffle. She's like, this is what we dreamed about. Remember?
It's gangs literally back together. As if Hallie or Annie had, like,
yes,
like wedding day jitters or whatever. And they were,
oh my God.
They were
yes. Jenny's in her parent trap.
And like the other twin is like, maybe this isn't such a good idea. Like, maybe they're not together for a reason.
Right, exactly. So this is where we all find out Jenny overheard. She knows that Allison was sleeping with the neighbor. And Dan goes, yeah, well, if you want to keep secrets, maybe we should move to a place with more walls. And he goes in his room, and Allison goes to follow him, and Rufus is like, it's good to give him a minute. And I'm just like, Allison, you haven't been gone for a decade. It's not like you were like,
so
literally,
what I'm gathering, like, is you were just a bad parent always.
Yeah, and you just don't know anything about your kids. So it's
exactly.
Like,
exactly.
I don't know. Like, even when she was like, do you still like waffles? Again?
It hasn't
been a full calendar year, maybe.
Yeah, that's generous.
You know?
For sure. I did want to ask, like, in terms of the footprint of this loft, where the fuck is Rufus's room?
That's a good question. Maybe he sleeps in the ceiling. Like a bat?
I'm just saying, like, too. Even like when they have sex later, and I'm like, okay, you guys are fully they're sprawled out on the living room floor.
Maybe that is his bed. Maybe they've got a Murphy bed. Is that what that's called?
No, that's because Rufus does give. I don't need a lot. I don't need much.
I don't need much. A futon's good for me. He's like, now that I'm a bachelor, who needs a queen size bed? Because you know they never
it's
had a king.
A little
live
lonely
in
there. Well, for sure.
Okay. Okay, guys, I live in New York. Anywho, so, Blair, I thought, gave a very, very smart lesson about friendships while dating. She's talking to Serena. She's like, I cannot believe Dan would tell Vanessa that you guys were going to do it. And Serena's like, well, I mean, I told you. And it's like, Serena, come on. Don't act dumb.
Serena wants to be the cool girl so bad.
Yeah, she's trying. It's like, you want to be the cool girl in front of Blair, but you're not really acting like the cool girl in front of Dan. Vanessa. So, like, you know. So it's like, you don't have to do this in front of Blair and make her feel insecure about, like, you know what I mean? I feel like Blair's like never the cool girl, and she'd probably love it if you just like admit that you weren't the cool girl for once. And Serena's never been in a relationship, so she's always been the cool girl. And it's like, it's fucking okay. Just chill. But Blair says, she's like, look, when you get a boyfriend, you become the best friend, and the best friend becomes the second best friend. That's just how it has to be if it's ever going to work. And honestly, that is true. Like, that really is true. You can still be best friends, but it can't be like that's your, like, it can't be like people we meet on vacation, okay?
All right, well, I'm only 100 pages in. I've been reading this book for three fucking weeks.
Crazy.
And
crazy.
This happens every time I read an Emily Henry book, and it's like I have deja vu for the split second where I decide I'm going to pick one back up, and I'm like, surely I can just get through it. Every single Emily Henry book, and I feel like I always read them at the top of the year, and it like puts me in a reading rut.
That's crazy. God, I flew through them.
I know. So I need to finish that, and then I'm going to switch to Best Offer.
You don't have to hold yourself hostage.
Well, now
it's
like a point of
principle. If you haven't read Best Offer Wins, it's really good, and I'm going to become that woman about the house that I fell in love with this weekend.
Oh, great.
So... Serena's like, well, let's talk about Nate. And Blair's like, and neither one of them's being honest with the other, because she's like, I told him, just like, focus on your family. Like, you don't have to come. Serena goes, you're such a good girlfriend, B.
Well, I did think, and then she gave her like.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Y'all, we made it through January. But that does mean that the month of February is now here, and it is full of flowers and candy and, of course, lots of talk about relationships and dating. And it doesn't really matter whether you're single, dating, married, just focusing on yourself. It's really impossible to get away from the constant reminders that everyone else's love life is perfect. But the truth is, most of us are still figuring it out. We're still finding our way. And no matter where you are in your romantic journey, therapy can really help you find your way. It can help you figure out what you really want. And it can also help you figure out what's getting in the way of your happiness and your love life, yes, but also in all areas of your life. It's like Mama Ru always says, if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love someone else? Anyway, we just want to remind you here at Your One and Only Source that everyone is still figuring it out, okay? And we want to encourage you to take some pressure off of yourself, especially this month, the love month. I know you're probably hearing me say this and you're thinking, yeah, but Caroline's in a fairy tale marriage. What could she know about my struggles? And to that I say, girl, how do you think I got here? But in all seriousness, it takes work to be in a strong relationship. Anthony and I really both believe in using therapy to strengthen how we show up for each other. And yeah, sometimes just to vent about how one of us always forgets to make the bed. Both are okay. We are partnering with BetterHelp because they offer quality therapists that work according to a strict code of conduct, and they're all fully licensed in the U.S. And they offer a therapist match commitment, which I love. So if you aren't happy with your match, you can just switch to a different therapist at any time with BetterHelp's tailored recs. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the largest online therapy platform, and y'all, it works. So sign up today and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.
That was a very weirdly timed,
I know,
hug. Like, the chemistry in the room wasn't there for them to hug. No. Right then. But what I will say is I did think it was a crazy comment to like be like, so if you talk to Nate, it's all over the papers. And then Blair's like, not really. And she's like, okay, but like, he's still coming tonight, right, to your, she's party,
like, should I check on him? Serena's like, do you want me to check on him?
That's not even what I meant. I just meant more so, but true, I do think every time she asks about Nate, it's like kind of like playing with fire a little bit. You never know what kind of mood Blair is in. He would
like love to know that Blair like doesn't know how he's doing. You know what I
yes.
mean?
Yes. But also, I just think it's, and maybe it's just like a kid immature comment, but like the concept of Nate being able to go to a party tonight. I know his parents end up wanting him to go for other reasons, but in any other situation, if this was our family and we asked to go to a party.
Oh,
we would both of be, our parents would be in orange jumpsuits.
We'd be in a bunker. Like, we'd all be in a bunker together if this was our family, okay? Like, no one would see or hear from us for months. So Nate and Serena really are meant for each other, because remember when we had Serena walking through the streets with her headphones in? This is now Nate, moody, sad boy Nate.
Literally.
We got good guy Nate, we got sad boy Nate.
And those, I just, the two versions say, of Nate. This is the era before noise-canceling headphones. His mom is screaming and he can't hear. I'm like, you're ignoring her. And then she says something.
Yeah, this is called, like, selective hearing.
I can't believe that he can't hear it. But what I can't believe even more than that is that she pulls his headphones off and says, I've been screaming for 20 minutes. You can't live in that big of a place. It's New York. You didn't just like go find him in the 20 yeah. minutes you were yelling for him.
What if she was using hyperbole? What if she's guilting him? She's like, you owe me.
Wait.
I'm losing my voice, Nate.
She does not strike me as someone who uses hyperbole.
No, I agree with you. I totally agree.
She's the most serious woman in America.
Yes, that's true. And she's very serious about this. She rips his earbuds out and brings up Blair's birthday party. And she's like, by the way, I have the perfect gift. She just keeps trying to pawn this freaking ring.
I know, and I think that's great. Part of me thinks it's like, if they take everything, if Nate's already given it away, then they can't take that.
Oh,
it's not like,
ooh,
an
you're
asset.
Thinking three steps ahead.
But also, I was just gonna say another thing and I forgot. Oh, well, Nate keeps the music playing as they're having this conversation. I'm like, this is another thing that would not fly with our parents. If we could hear the music that loudly through the headphones, well, I was in trouble.
Mom's just gonna, like, hate this.
Just like, literally can't imagine. Mommy raised us to be respectful.
And Nate really wasn't raised that way, and yet somehow he is the most respectful one
that is true
around. Honestly, like, he has every right to be a total freaking bitch to his parents.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I am like, hey, good for you, Nate. Nate, I like how his response to her saying, you should give this to Blair, he goes, it's a family heirloom. I'm not giving it to Blair. It's like, that's crazy.
And then she's like, as if this makes it better, he's like, she's like, well, I'm not saying you have to propose to her. Like, well, yeah. Good, because they're 16.
Literally, she's turning 17. You know that, right? Jesus Christ. I guess this is, like, honestly, modern day arranged marriages, you know? She goes, it's important that Blair knows your loyalty, because we find out the Waldorf lawyers have already called the Archibalds today. And so she's trying to do, like, damage control. And he tells her that he and Blair broke up. And she's like, well, then get back together with her. And he says, no. And she's like, you know, this whole thing is your fault. Which, like, okay, Nate's going to need a lot of therapy for what you guys are doing to him. She's like, this whole fucking thing is your fault, you piece of shit. Mm-hmm. And he's like, actually, Dad has a drug problem. And I think that's kind of what set all this into motion.
Exactly. Like,
oh, my God. They're so in denial. So, yeah.
So then we go to Blair and... Oh, wait. We just did that. The phone call? Blair is walking around and Nate, or she's in her room. Nate is walking around and calls
she's
Blair.
She's Googling, yeah, what happened with the Archibalds, and he calls her.
And Nate's like, hey, Blair, I need something. Do you think we were, like, maybe, I don't know, a little hasty with this whole calling it quits?
She knows the classic, like, girl in a movie moment where she's like, kicks her feet up, and she's like, ah, like, puts the phone to her chest so we can hear, and then she's like, I don't know.
She's so cute. Like, she's so adorable.
It is really cute. And she's like, I don't know, I'm really gonna make you work for it. And he's like, you know what, never mind, it's cool. And she's like, no, okay, never mind, I'll work for it. Okay, never mind, that's fine, we'll whatever. And he's like, okay, I got you a really special birthday present. And then
she calls, this is actually my favorite phone call. She calls the jeweler, doesn't say hello, doesn't say her name, says, hey, could you just tell me what of the things that I put on hold earlier have been picked up?
and she goes, the diamond necklace? And she's like, oh my God. She's so, like, honestly shocked and excited for somebody that literally put it on hold because she wanted it. Like, did you not think someone was going to get it for you?
And if she didn't think that someone was going to get it for her, I feel like, why were you setting yourself up for that kind of disappointment?
Well, this honestly, it makes me feel, her reaction to this makes me feel like it's sort of the equivalent of when someone would put, like, a car on their Christmas list as a joke, you know? So it's like, here are all the things I really want. And then, like, you know, I'm shooting my shot, I'm throwing it out there, kind of a thing. Or, like, putting, like, a super expensive thing on your wedding registry. And it's like, who knows? I'm putting it on, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I feel like that was maybe the vibe where she was like, I'll probably get these other things. But maybe that was, like, you know, crazy expensive.
Right.
Which makes it even, like, kind of cuter later when Chuck gives it to her and she's like, I can't accept. Like, her initial reaction is to not accept it, which also is like, it's just not the Blair or the Chuck that the world sees, or that we kind of expect, and that we've seen in other relationships. And it's almost just like, I don't know, maybe they bring out the best in each other.
I agree. Sorry, there was a car alarm going on outside and I just was making sure it wasn't my car.
So anyway, then she starts saying thank you to the sky, aka God. She's gonna convert to Catholicism.
Perfect. Lucky priest. I hope he gets a commission. we go to the Humphrey loft and Allison really wants to talk. This is the crazy conversation. Allison wants to talk to Dan and he's like, okay, so, like, are you coming back or are you going back to Hudson? Like, what are you doing? Like, what is this?
And I'm like, did she expect, like, all this fanfare and everyone to be so excited? Like, you don't think that everyone knows or at least suspects some things? Like, even if they didn't know you were cheating on Rufus, you've been living separately for, like, a year and they've had to deal with their moping, sad dad. And it's been really awkward. Like, did you think, like, they obviously know because of the way Rufus and Allison are interacting that they're not back together. So I don't know why she expected it to be, like,
right,
this warm welcome and, like, excitement, you know?
It's almost, I don't,
like,
get,
like,
it either.
I'm here. Why aren't you guys, like, why aren't you on a party?
And she's like, that thing, it was like a one-time thing, whatever. And he's like, I'm not mad about that. I'm mad that you left. I'm mad that you said you were going to be gone for a year and or for however long. And then now it's been a year and whatever. And this is the craziest thing that she says. She says, I asked you before I left if that was going to upset you. And he was like, well, what was I supposed to say? She's like, I thought
you'd say something. And he goes, why should I have to tell you this? And it's like, exactly. Literally, I wrote as I was taking notes on what she was saying, like, I asked you if you were okay with it. I wrote, not his job, babe. And then the next line is, why should I have to tell you this? Is right. Because mm-hmm. exactly. Like, girl, hello.
It's
like
parenting
101. Like, yeah. These parents and their inability to take accountability is mm-hmm. really going to fuck their kids
up. And it's happening with all of them. I mean, we don't see Lily this episode, but she's definitely done it before. We go to the palace and...
By the way, Jenny also... Dan leaves and then so does Jenny.
Oh, yeah. So now they're going to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
Allison. So we go to the palace and we get a peephole shot of Nate being like, Chuck, I can hear you breathing on the other side of the door. Just open it, which is kind
it
of...
It is.
This is where we're starting to see a shift in Chuck.
Yeah.
Because that's not something that...
Chuck would do ever?
It's a part of Chuck's personality that we haven't seen yet.
It's giving like little kid.
Yes.
Like it's kind of hilarious that he literally is like standing by the door. Like it's like.
And like mouth breathing enough that Nate can like, hear it.
Like that nervous. Like it's like. And also it's interesting that he gives a fuck. Like Chuck hasn't been the type of person that like. He seems like the type who wouldn't care about pissing off his best friend with this, you know what I mean? Especially because I feel like he's aware that Nate's like not that into Blair, so it's like he.
Chuck but the reason he is
because not a big deal.
The reason he is that way is because he knows it's a big deal to Blair, and that's sweet.
Yes. And but so also Nate, because of Nate, it's like a moment where we're seeing like he really does care about these people. Like it's like you know. You've got the Stephen DeMarcos of Tell Me Lies and you've got the Chuck Basses and they're both bad people. But Stephen DeMarco is literally down to the bone, a sociopath, incapable of loving anybody. And like, that's where like Chuck does have the capability.
He actually keeps me up at night and like, I'm happy for Grace Van Patten and like, I'm happy she's happy. Ooh,
I don't know how she can be with him.
I don't
him.
Think I could date him.
I've thought that a million times since watching it. Like, it's so... horrific and like it just wait till this episode it just keeps getting fucking worse and it's like it's honestly blood chilling same thing to think of people like this existing in the world and just like walking among us and tampering with women like it's crazy and men I guess but still anywho so Chuck does let Nate in and he like runs over to the bar and he has to move this gift bag off. And I was like, I never really noticed that before.
Me either.
it's like so cute that like that's the other thing. He heard what Blair said and then he was like, go to the jeweler, you know, like afterwards. And he did it ahead of time. Like Nate, by the way, doesn't have a gift for Blair. That's not the ring. And Nate mm-hmm. broke up yesterday. So like he has not had a birthday gift for his girlfriend
it's also
of like 10 years.
So classic that he was like. Well, I know she's going to do this thing, so I'll just go pick. I'm just going to thoughtlessly go pick up whatever.
And like an eye roll about it. Like, I don't know.
And he says, what's on your mind? And Nate goes, just my mom. And Chuck says, sounds Freudian.
Sounds Freudian. And he tells Chuck about the ring, and Chuck's like, wait, what? I thought you and Blair called it quits. Like, this is, And Nate's like, well, how would you know that? And he's like, ran the old grill the best friend play to see where your head's at.
Before he finished the sentence, I paused it when he started talking because I thought he said she ran the whole grope your best friend play. So that it was I thought.
And you were like, this pig!
Literally.
You're like, I can't believe we're supposed to like him.
And then I had to rewind it and I was like, oh, that's actually sweet. He's like being protective of both of them again, but I think specifically Blair. But
it is kind of funny because Nate explains, like, well, you know, here's what's going on. And he explains
and
what's
Chuck
going on
is
with his
like,
dad. Chuck's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm sorry. Well, but also Chuck's like, yeah, sorry about the trial. I'm like, you guys haven't spoken about this yet? Like, it's been all over the news and Chuck hasn't reached. I mean, I guess he's been busy. But it is just like, it's like actually, I guess, classic man. Like, of course they haven't talked. And Chuck's like, oh, yeah, by the way, sorry about the trial.
I think that's how their friendships are.
Yeah, I guess so. And then Chuck's like, well, I think like, yeah, you shouldn't cave to your parents' whims. Like, if you want to be done with Blair, you should just be done with Blair. And Nate's like, I thought your whole thing was like, fuck bitches, get money. And Chuck's like, well, I care about three things. Money, the pleasures money brings me, and you. I'm just trying to have you back here.
So then,
so anyway, we're at Blair's party now.
Blair and Sushi.
Blair. Blair and her best friend Sushi walk into the party. Blair and Sushi.
It's because I just
pictured like a big piece of sashimi, like walking next to Blair and Sushi.
Wait, okay, guys. Part of my perfect Saturday was I went to go see a movie, and then I went to the sushi restaurant next to the movie theater.
You're about
and,
to get it.
And then I went to another movie, and at the sushi place, I ordered 2 tuna rolls. And at this restaurant, Caroline, don't fat shame me. This restaurant, the Yellowtail comes in one piece order. So I ordered two orders of that.
Holy and shit. It was,
Caroline's like, oh my God, I'm going to throw up.
Did I hear that? Wait, did you take some home? Wait.
Don't tell me you got popcorn movie afterwards. The movie.
What did you do with the leftovers?
Hopefully it was cold enough in the car. It's like a refrigerator.
Oh, you were with a big group?
And so they bring me my sushi, and I'm like, surely what they're bringing over to my seat is not my order, because they brought me 5 rolls of sushi.
You're like, I didn't order this.
I'm like sitting at the bar, and everybody
like, this is way too much sushi.
I'm like, whoa, what is that?
Not my order. Thank you. Can I get some more soy sauce?
If you could bring each plate out one at a time.
Yeah. Bringing food out here. What's going on? Am I a food
you can eat? Yeah. But then I like look at the waiter, and I was like, I am so sorry.
This isn't mine. I look at the waiter, and I was like, what the fuck is this?
What do you expect me to do with all this? Yeah. And I said, I thought I ordered 2 tuna rolls and a yellowtail, like the nigiri. And he was like, oh, you want a nigiri?
He's like, yeah, I wanted. Yeah, and you know that.
I was like, yeah, I wanted the tuna rolls and the hamachi nigiri. And he's like, okay. They take all the sushi back. I'm like, well, you could leave the tuna rolls I ordered.
You're like, I'm famished. Leave it. Leave your mistake on the table.
And then they bring out the sushi, and he put all of it in his nigiri. So now I have 2 like red tuna nigiri and 2
not
hamachi
what you
nigiri.
Wanted.
No, I didn't even say anything. I was just like, but now I know I need to be like crystal clear. I'm gonna write it down next time.
Yeah, you might as well. I mean, that's what's great about Little Tokyo. You just need to do a check.
But anyway, check. So like we said, Blair and Sushi are walking.
Blair and Sushi walk in. This is epic. There is a like hand rolled sushi bar.
This is dreams.
People making
this is
fresh
right
sushi at this party. Sake is being passed around like past apps. We do have an anime projected on the wall. There are tons of gifts piling up, and then of course, a Guitar Hero marathon that is going throughout the entire party.
This
which
is
must be an ad for it.
This is the blueprint for. Oh my God, I'm gonna throw up in my mouth when I say this. The blueprint for my 26th birthday.
This is what you want for your 26th birthday? Your 26th birthday?
Wait, just to be clear, you said
26? 26. S-I-X. Okay.
Okay, so late 20s?
So like late. Okay, great. So like close to 30. Okay.
Whoa. Oh my God, that gives me chills. That like makes my shoulders tense up.
And what's so bad about being 30?
Nothing. 30 is different. 30 is chic.
How can you be scared of this? Your future. When you're 30, this is your future. Anyway,
us right there,
we were
giving Death Becomes Her, Meryl and Goldie.
So tell me.
I love
Ernest,
that movie.
How much have you seen of me? Cinematically. The roms, the coms, the rom-coms, the dramas, the dramedies, the straight to DVDs. No, really, Ernest. How often have you watched me? Put me in that show.
So good. I haven't seen the show. I've seen the movie, but
I'm not old enough for the show, actually.
I knew
for
it.
For the role
that's,
I want.
That's what I was going to say.
Don't worry. I'm not old enough for that yet. Anyway,
we're at the, they're sitting down eating sushi. And
Serena, pick me Vanderwoodson, goes, arigato. And she starts trying to speak in Japanese. Well, I don't know. She's speaking in Japanese. And then Blair's like, thank you. Like, Blair, I'm like, thank you for knowing who you are. I'm like, Serena, come on. Give me a break with this.
And Serena's like, Serena, I mean, it's word vomit. Where's Nate?
Shiki's obsessed. And Blair's like, where's Anne? Which, perfect comeback. And then Chuck walks in and Blair's like, got a jet. Blair is up and out of there. Dan has been hanging out with Vanessa, which it is like, you were supposed to be here. Serena's waiting on you and you're with Vanessa. Like, are you dumb as bricks?
With your satchel bag?
Oh my God. And by the way, Vanessa has a Vespa. That's hilarious, it's considering classic. Like a few episodes ago.
Yes.
The Vespa combo.
And like, that's how I know Aria would fit right in.
Yes. Well, you know,
like actually, like if I could ever use AI for something like this in a good faith, because I know this would never be created, I do just need like an episode of television with where it's like a Thanksgiving episode and the Montgomerys and the Fitz are in
and
town.
The cousins are invited. Yes. I want to see Vanessa and Aria go on a cousin walk. That's what I want.
And like low key, like, you know, they low key hate each other.
Exactly. But then also like Aria walks out with her and they're smoking a joint on the streets of Brooklyn. And Aria's like, God, I just like, I can't wait to go to this fucking city. Like, I'm so suffocated in Rosewood. My parents don't get it. Of course. They moved back there for what? I'm never going back. Once I'm out, I'm never going back. Your life is so cool and vibrant here. I love it. I love the culture. Anyway, and then she greens out and has to go to the hospital because she's having a panic attack from the weed.
Bingo. So Dan is like, well, Vanessa is like so happy that Dan came to her with all this. And she's like, well, we can keep like talking and like we can go do something else. And he gets a text from Serena as though it's the first he's hearing of this party. And he's like, oh, I actually think I'm going to go meet up with Serena.
Well, it's funny too, because
you're not thinking you're going to go meet up with Serena. You have plans with Serena.
Well, also, she goes, she's like, your parents love each other. And in the meantime, you've got me. His response to that is, actually, I was going to go meet up with Serena. And it's like, that's a crazy response. Actually,
that's true.
Right,
that's
now, worse. You've got me. Actually, I was going to go. Okay, well, I didn't mean right now. I also meant like in life. And you're like, oh, actually, don't got you. I got Serena. Like, he's just like saying shit. That's crazy. But you're right. It is like, he's an idiot. Like, Serena's has every right to be like way more mad at him than she is. And Vanessa has nothing to hide her disappointment. She's like, aww, she might as well start crying.
She's sad from inside out.
Seriously, she's stomping her feet.
No.
What? And I just joined you where you are. I joined you there.
And our mind's eye is in the same place. Right.
We're in the same room.
Vanessa
right
is
now
stomping her feet. She is pulling her hair on the side of the road. She's gritting through her teeth. Dan!
You can't even understand what she's. Exactly. Fucking asshole! That's what she's doing. And then Dan's like, listen.
Into the gutter.
He's like, hey, Vanessa, listen. Get over it. I got the hots for. Like, he's like, I like Serena. And also, this is a weird sentence. He goes, I like Serena and I like you. It's like, okay, what does that mean? And then he's like, and Serena likes me and you like me, so I don't know why you don't like each other. And it's also like, well, who said they didn't like each other? Who said Serena didn't like Vanessa? Don't throw her under the bus like this.
Because that's a really good point. Because now Vanessa has an excuse to like not like Serena even more.
Right, she'd be like, Serena, the girl that doesn't like me. Like, she's going to bring that up every chance she gets. And Dan's going to be like, Vanessa, can I borrow your Vespa for a date tonight? Which, by the way, if Dan was smart, he would have already done. And Vanessa's going to be like, why? So you can take your girlfriend who hates me out on a date? I don't think so, Dan. And plus, I'm switching to fuel-efficient gas models, and they're not in the city yet. So it's stationary for now, okay? Vespa's out of order. Walk. Try walking.
Mother
Does she not
first.
Walk? Oh, let me guess. She's from the Upper East Side. She doesn't walk, huh? God, because she's wearing her stilettos. Can't walk in Louboutins, huh?
That's why I love my trusty old high tops.
Let
Chuck
me guess.
Taylors.
She's afraid her hair will get a little messed up. I don't care about that stuff. Anyway.
Meanwhile, she shows up to the party. And
you had an outfit change.
Everybody basically, but you know who didn't? Dan because he shows up with that same fucking bag.
Which means Dan went to Vanessa's house so she could change her outfit. And you know she was like, she's pulled a Spencer Hastings. And yes. She was like, I'm just going to change right in the crack of the door so you can watch me. And Dan, come on. I know we're like brother and sister. Like, we've seen each other in diapers, okay? I know. Or actually, no, she's not saying brother and sister. That's weird. She's going, Dan, what's the big deal? That's what she's doing. She's changing in the middle of the room. She's like, Dan, it's okay. You don't have to shield your eyes. I know you've seen it before.
We're all born naked.
We're all born naked.
The rest is drag.
I was just going to say that. Anyway, so Dan's like, listen, I want you to try being nice to Serena. And Vanessa's like, okay, then bring me with you. Just you, me, and Serena. I'm like, okay, chill. How about you take a chill pill, okay? And he's like, well, no, it's like Blair's birthday party. And she goes, well, okay, then I'm going.
Hey,
like,
Vanessa, have you ever been to a party?
And have you ever met Blair Waldorf? Because let me tell you, this isn't the party you want to crash. This is not the party you're going to want to be crashing.
Abraham, but you know what she says? Every ballroom has a back door.
Well, of course. She's like, you know what? I'm more comfortable entering through the back door. So I'll come to
the fire.
She
scales the building.
Yeah, exactly.
Comes into the balcony.
I like to come in through the window. I don't know. It's just a weird quirk I have. Have you ever seen me enter a house not through a window? That's weird.
Weirdo.
Dan goes, I think we may want to start with dipping a toe rather than diving off of a cliff head first into the rock.
And then she goes,
with the sharks.
And then she goes, well, we can both swim, can't we?
Why? We all know how to swim. Like, girl,
maybe there's
speak for yourself.
A shark in the water. Where did,
I don't know that. And honestly, the thought of Dan swimming gives me the ick.
Caroline, not even singing along with me.
Well, I don't know if I'm allowed to sing anymore on this podcast.
I think that should be fine.
Baby, there's a shark in the water. I've been waiting for that.
That song,
better be soon.
That song really like takes me back to like the, you know, the way that the basement carpet felt on your bare feet.
Yes.
And like
when you're dancing by yourself in there and you're not letting
anybody. No, I just mean
in.
Like if you
and
were
the
like
woods come out, woods come out. No,
the thing about. When those commercials would play is like the time stopped for a second because we weren't allowed
like,
to watch
now I'm in a music video.
We weren't allowed to watch Degrassi, so I felt like every ad I had to like soak up every like tantalizing bit that came.
What
the
made
screen.
You know culture was for you when I was addicted to the television bricks. I was like, just give me more TV, just give me more culture, please. Give me more media. I want to consume.
I don't know when my parents called me a TV head and I thought my head was actually
I don't know when they
the
felt
like
they had and they said I feel corners in there. What I just said. Okay, but I was stressed about getting corners in my head, like
it's like on what planet would that have ever been?
And I was like, Caroline, that's just your amazing bone structure, it's okay.
I'm chiseled.
Anyway, by the way, I had the distinct pleasure of showing a whole new group of people the sketch that was done of me and telling that story last weekend. It was awesome.
Lucky you.
Brendan's birthday party, I was at a table full of people who didn't know about my sketch. I was like, oh, well, buckle the fuck up. And I told them all and I showed them and they were, I mean, in stitches. And I was like, and I have a podcast, so there's more where that came from.
Hey. Here's a QR code.
Yeah, exactly. So Blair is outside on the balcony, just getting some air. And Chuck comes out. He's like, do you want your present? And she grabs his ear and yanks it down the side of the building. And someone says hi to her. And she does not loosen her grip on his ear and goes, hi. Just holding him there. And Chuck's like, listen, you got to face it. It's over. Get over Nate. She says, I love this scene. She goes, you sound like a jealous boyfriend. And he goes, yeah, right. You wish. And he looks away. And Blair, you just watch the wheels turn. And she's like, no, you wish. And it is so good. She's like, do you like me? And he says, define like. Oh, my God.
If this is giving if this, Wicked took the turn that I think so many people wish it may have. Of like, if during what is this feeling? It's like, we don't understand these like crazy intense feelings that we have about each other. The way that Chuck is talking, he's like, I feel sick. There's this
he's like, how
feeling
do you think
in
I
my
feel?
Stomach and
something fluttering in my stomach. And she says, butterflies. She's like amazed by this. He goes, no one's more surprised or ashamed than I am. And she goes, you know, I adore all of God's creatures and their metaphor and the metaphors they inspire, but these butterflies have got to be murdered. And I love that she loves animals. She said vegan leather only. No, it isn't. Nate is also outside the party, just below on the street, and he's with the ring and he's stressing. He's like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to be a husband. I'm
stressing.
Now that we're on our Hamilton kick. Always. Father stone face while he's asking for my blessing.
Blessing.
Crying inside while you're crying and dying.
So he sees Jenny, and Jenny's like, oh my God, Nate, what are you doing? Everything that she says has that timbre to her voice.
Exactly. She still has the light in her eye. She's just little Jenny Humphrey.
She has just not found out that eyeliner can actually cover the entirety of your eyelid.
And these were the good old days. These were the good old days. And half of your cheek as well. She's like, well, how have things been? And he's like, weird, but like not your fault. And like, okay, didn't say it was. And neither one of them really
apologizes for telling Blair about what happened at the party.
Which it is like, good guy Nate is in full force. Okay, we've graduated from sad boy Nate to good guy Nate at this point in the episode. And they're both kind of like not sure if they want to go in anymore. Jenny has an apology letter written to Blair. And I'm like, girl, Blair does not want it. Blair has a stack of presents in there. She literally doesn't want cards. Okay, let's just hold hard cash. Blair gives a sense that she's not touching cash too dirty. She's card only. Blair Waldorf loves Apple Pay. Anywho, Jenny is like, I don't know if I want to go in anymore. Like, do you want to deliver it for me? And he goes, do you want to take a walk? She goes, with you? Have a little bit of coolness. She may as well go,
oh my God, ouch. Sorry, I just had to pinch myself.
I'm literally pinching myself right now. She looks up at this guy. She goes, thank you. Then it comes full circle to Blair. She
slaps herself in the face.
Thank you. She's like, okay, this is real life. Oh my God. She grabs his face and kisses him with tongue. She's like, wait, you're not a dream. Oh my God. She's like, sorry, that's just what I always do when I need to make sure this is real life. I grab whoever I'm looking at, kiss them with tongue.
I kissed my barista this morning.
Because the coffee was just so good. I didn't know how else to show my gratitude. Anyway, Blair, he goes, she's like, I don't want Blair to know if we go for a walk. And he's like, well, Blair's up there, so she's not going to know. And it's like, Nate, again, all these boys know what they're doing. Dan arrives at the party with Vanessa. I wrote, wow, she had time to change.
Again, Dan did not. But
we already kind of went through, you know, what happened with that and how we got to this moment. But like, Vanessa, you had a change for this party and this is what we chose.
Disaster.
Actually, and I don't really remember it.
And Blair says a line that sounds like it came out of Kelly Cochran's mouth.
Blair is funny in this moment.
She goes,
well, because Serena introduces everyone. She's like, everybody, Blair, come here. This is Vanessa.
You actually have to say it in the timbre that Blair says it in, because that's the only way it's going to sound like Kelly.
Okay, well, and it does sound like Kelly. You're right. Well, first, Blair comes over and just kind of gives her like the up down. And Vanessa goes, wow, you didn't mention they were so nice. And it's like, okay, you're trying to pick a fight. You are here at her birthday party and she does not know who you are. You think she's going to like.
She barely knows. Dan is a plus
and she's,
one
at yeah, this she's party. A bitch. Haven't you heard? She's the crazy bitch around here. So I don't know what you expect.
Dan tried to tell you.
Yeah, he literally tried to warn you. And then Blair leans her back against Serena, leans her head on Serena's shoulder.
She even looks like Kelly here, I think. She's,
oh, sweetie, you did not tell me she looked like that. This is such a problem. It's so good. I love it. But it is like, Blair's like, okay, then how's it work? Like, Blair's like, that girl's hot. That girl's a certified hottie. So,
and anywho. So we go to the Humphrey loft. I'm like, and whatever's going on is not good, but long story short, they end up hooking up.
Yeah, that is exactly what happens. They're going to, like, I guess, try to make it work.
I know, she's like, trying to, like, explain, like, how somehow him being in a band and her, like, being in a relationship with him willingly was as bad as her leaving. And I think she's insinuating that he cheated on her.
Yeah, because she cheated on him. So I think she's being, like,
what I will say is, like, and I'm not excusing cheating at any point in anybody's life. Right. But I
guys, gird your loins. I think she's about to excuse cheating.
I'm just saying, I think that the stakes are different for the kind of cheating that we're saying Rufus did and you walking out on your family, your two and teenage children. Kids.
Yeah. The stakes are higher.
Going and hooking up with your neighbor and, like, not, they haven't heard from you.
And
Jenny
and
had to go find you.
Right. The fact that she said it happened one time, I'm like, and he's answering your home phone? I don't believe you.
Like, you're a liar. It happened
one time
too.
And he's that mean. I guess maybe they could have been like hanging out for a long time, like whatever. But it is like there's a level of comfort there. He answered the phone. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So Blair is waiting for Nate still at the party, still not there. And Chuck comes up behind her and she says, "Stalk me much?" And she's like, "Well, I don't know where he is, but Nate always calls me at midnight going into my birthday. Like, he's not going to miss it. I absolutely know that." And Chuck does like fully tell. And it's like, you know, it's a terrible truth. It's a terrible thing for Blair to hear. But it is also like, God, someone just put her out of her misery. You know, yeah, just like tell her what's fucking happening. You know, like there is a little bit of like Chuck is doing it for personal gain. It's a little bit mean, but it's also like, stop. Like he's also like setting Blair free by telling her this.
Exactly.
You know? That like what Nate is actually doing is just trying to help out his parents.
Mm-hmm. And so we go, he's like gonna make a wager, like he's still trying to be a bit of a sleaze, and
he's like, if Nate calls you, I'll leave you alone forever. If he doesn't, you spend the night with me. And she's like, that's not happening, but I'm absolutely convinced that you're gonna lose, so like let's go for it.
We go inside by the sushi and Serena and Nate are talking about Vanessa,
and Serena's talking to Dan, not Nate.
Dan. And he's like, I just wish you guys would like get to know each other. Like,
she's like, hey, why'd you bring a date to this party? Why did you bring a date? And he's like, you know, you're my date. And she's like, I don't feel like that.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, yeah, I just thought you could hang out. And like Vanessa suggested it. And then Vanessa comes up to them and goes, so what now? I'm like, you're at a fucking party, dude. What do you mean? What now?
Exactly. Like,
what?
There's not going to be a fucking water slide.
Right. Exactly. But there is Guitar Hero. When Serena says, ever play Guitar Hero? And they go to play, and Serena's going to be doing Freebird.
Because Vanessa finishes, and everybody's like, oh my God, there's no freaking way Serena
Everyone's
can
like, she
that.
Freaking shreds! Who is this girl?
Who is this girl?
Who is this chick?
And Serena goes, that was cute, but this little birdie is about to get free.
Hell yeah. And then she's like, and yeah, I know Freebird. Play Freebird. Like, I love it.
And then
it.
It's truly it. 5 minutes of her playing almost the whole song.
And they're showing us close-ups on her fingers. She's hitting that whammy bar.
The thing is that they are actually playing because they're all singing along, like, with the song.
Yeah. I know. Well, I'm, like, fun as fuck and made me really want to play Guitar Hero. Like,
it made me want to play
Guitar Hero. There was just nothing like, I mean, talk about, like, a cigarette, a fridge cigarette. How about coming home from school, putting on a little Guitar Hero? I mean,
it was the best.
I've been chasing that feeling. That's the
And I just don't understand why we haven't figured out how to keep
it on the Switch.
Going. Yeah.
Can we please get Guitar Hero on the Switch? Like, we have Guitar Hero, but I have to be in Anthony's on his computer to play it. Like, we have to, like, sit on his bed with the guitars. And I'm like, no, I want to be in the living room.
I want to be performing.
I need to be up and, like, around. Like, I can't be, like, hindered by all this.
I need a guitar strap.
I need more room. Like, anyway, so Dan is literally, like, the crowd is going wild. And Dan's like, that's my girl! Like, he's so whatever. And then they're going to, like, play more or whatever. And Vanessa mentions that Dan's like had a bad day, and Serena's like, what? Vanessa goes, oh, you didn't tell her? I'm like, Vanessa,
right,
chill.
Vanessa,
things where you were
up.
Just getting along, like, what are you doing?
And this is what I'm like 50-50 on whose side I am on here, because Serena does like storm off and make
it's
it about
a little
her.
Bit dramatic, like making it completely about her. Yeah.
And I understand,
like, I
where she's
this
coming
point
from
of the night. Yeah, like after,
and it is
this.
Just like, and if you think about how the show was airing week to week, it probably felt like they've been dating for a while. So I do think this is a reasonable time to have the conversation of like, I should be the person that right. You come to about these things. You,
right,
it's not
exactly.
That you shouldn't talk to your friends about it, but like, I want to be the first person you call.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, my iPad died. So I'm just switching to my phone. I'm not texting. I'm locked in.
So
that's my favorite part of the Social Network, by the way. And they're like, oh, he's locked in. He's all done. I love that part.
So
it's funny, they say it a few times. Social Network is such a good movie.
I haven't watched it.
My prod is at the cleaners.
Classic.
With my something, my fuck you flip flops.
And Dan,
you're up, asshole.
All right.
Sorry.
All right. And
movie in my mind.
I'll just press play on the movie back in my head and you can keep talking.
Oh, sorry, pause. Sorry, hold on, pause. Gotta pause the movie playing in my brain. Pause. okay, Andrew Garfield, see you later. We'll pick up where we left off.
That's something kid Phoebe would have done of like, if I sit in front of the TV and I memorize the movie so well, yeah. I can just sit in class and watch TV all day.
Exactly. It's reminiscent. It's reminding me of when Phoebe had the button on her shoe to go fast. She'd be like, oh, you need something done quickly? I can do that, but hang on 1 second. Gotta touch my toe real quick. Anyway, she'd press a button on her shoe, and then she would run, and she'd be like, so, could you believe that? And we're all like, kind of. Like, she's like, not running fast. Ah, so cute. Anyway, okay, so what were you saying about Dan?
Dan is, Blair is like, I need to be your best friend. Like, Blair was telling me, like, I should be your best friend now. And he's like, oh, really? You're taking relationship advice from Blair? And I'm like,
Blair Waldorf? Okay, last person on earth I'm taking advice from.
I'm like, well, yeah, Dan, because she's the only one who's been in an actual relationship.
And she's Serena's best friend also. So, like, if you want to be part of this world, little Jay, you gotta be cool with this shit, okay?
Yeah.
And he's like, I tell Vanessa everything, like, I have since I was 6. You're not 6 anymore, Dan. Anyway, so they decide that, like, as long as Serena and Vanessa cannot compete against each other except on Guitar Hero, they'll try to make it work and, like, whatever. And then we go to Jenny and Nate. So,
well,
Jenny,
this was one of my favorite lines, though, is that Serena says, all right, we gotta go. It's almost midnight. And Dan says, what happens at midnight? Oh, I don't know. You're at a birthday party for someone.
Yeah. What do you think, dude?
You've never been to one?
God. No. He's like, I don't even, honestly, I always forget when it's, I'm like, it's my birthday today. Like, oh my God. Thanks. It's not even that important to me. So I just don't really remember it. What's my astrological sign? Honestly, no idea. Whatever one's in May.
No. Don't tell me.
I don't even know. Actually, I give up. I don't know any of them.
So we go out to the city and Nate is like, so this is the freaking ring, Jenny. This is the ring I was going to give Blair. And she's like, oh my God, that's your family's ring. Blair told me about it. And Nate's like, yeah, it is. But me and Blair, we just shouldn't be together. We just can't be together. But if we do this, like, when does it stop? And Jenny says, Nate, it only stops when you stop it.
She's like, the only person that can stop this cycle is you. You have the power. You have the answers you're seeking.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so we go back into the party and Chuck, it's 12:01 and Chuck comes up to her and she's like so annoyed because she like thinks she knows what he's there for. And then he's like, turn around. And she's like, you're so gross. And then we realize it's for the cake and she gets so upset. Turns
yes,
away.
He's like, make a wish. Blair says, it already didn't come true. And then Chuck blows out the candles, perhaps making a wish of his own. So Nate and Jenny are heading back, and he's like, well, I had a good night with her. He's putting her in a taxi. And she goes, he's like, are your parents going to be pissed that you were out late? And it's also like, Jenny, this is a clue that he thinks of you like a little sis. It's not going to be anything more than that, like, because he's also out, everyone's out. And she's like, no, they think I'm with a friend. And he goes, well, they think right. Again, good guy, Nate. So anyway, so they hug. Someone immediately pops up behind them, takes a photo, sends to Gossip Girl. And now everyone's seen Nate Archibald putting a mystery girl into a cab instead of being at Blair's birthday party. And it's past midnight. Oh, Blair's going to be steamed. Looks like the artichoke is steamed.
We go to the party. And Blair gets the Gossip Girl notification that literally says, happy birthday, Blair. And the whole party is talking about it. And Serena's like, guys, she's been wrong before about me so many times. She has thought that I've been on trysts here and there. And 50% of the time, it's not true. And then this is the line that Cotty goes, Cottian is. I hope the slug gives him herpes.
Cheaters totally deserve herpes. Exactly. And that's actually true. So Blair explains it's not cheating. She finally has to say it. We broke up and we were only going to get back together for our parents. Like, that's the truth. And Chuck, honestly, like, instead of looking satisfied, like you might imagine him to be looking, he looks sad for her. Like, he realizes she's really hurt. Serena runs after her. Blair is fully sobbing, and she's just like, I didn't want to say it out loud. I didn't want it to be true. It was my birthday wish for us to get back together, and now I think it's really over. And she asks Serena just to be alone.
And so we go to the Archibalds, and Nate is home now. And they're like, why are you home so early? And he's like, it's 12 a.m. And they're like, yeah, but like, we thought you'd be out a little bit later. And he's like,
we thought you'd be at City Hall already.
We were just on the way.
He's like, Mom, why are you wearing a white gown? Mom, come on, seriously? Anyway, so he's like, well, I didn't go to the party. And Anne's like, okay, then tomorrow you will take her to lunch. Tomorrow is her actual, like, it's her actual birthday. And Nate's like, no, 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 I'm not doing it. Chucks the ring on the table. And the captain goes, come on, Nate. There's nothing I wouldn't do to protect this family. I need your support and your trust. And Nate eats. Well, you better hope they don't call your son to the stand.
That was crazy.
That I was crazy. It. Me too.
So we go back to the Humphrey
Loft. Okay, bad boy, Nate. Okay, he contains multitudes.
Yes. Rufus and Allison are cuddled up on the ground. There's an open bottle of wine. Allison is wearing Rufus's shirt. Rufus is just in a t-shirt. Thank God he is not shirtless. Then he like starts to kiss her, and then they hear the door handle jiggle, and he's like, I really hope this is someone burglarizing our house, not one of our kids walking in. And it's little Jay.
It's like, if you didn't want them to know you got laid, why did you do it in the middle of the floor?
Exactly. Jenny walks through, says, as you were, and goes on.
She goes in her room, cannot stop smiling. I'm like, okay, no 14 or 15 year old has ever been this giddy, this geeked over their parents fucking.
For real. In their living room.
What happened to, ew. Mom, Dad, get a room. Literally get a room, actually. Mm-hmm. Ever heard of getting a room?
We go back to the party, and Vanessa comes up to Serena to check on Blair, actually. And they kind of just,
and
like,
she goes, is your friend going to be okay? Is your friend going to be okay at her friend's birthday party? Is crazy. Vanessa, you know her name.
They are basically, they just like get back to talking about Guitar Hero. They're like, next time I'm actually not going to hold back. And then Serena's like, well, next time I'm not going to hold back anymore. And they just keep basically going back and forth until Dan comes up and is like, am I interrupting something? And Serena says, actually, you are.
He goes, okay, well, if you want to get out of here, Vanessa only has two seats on her Vespa, but I can walk. And Serena's like, you know how I feel about a Vespa. And in that moment, I was like, did Dan forget about the whole Vespa thing? Like, crazy.
It would be
Dan
classic.
Literally is a loser. But Serena's like, well, you're not the only one with a best friend. I'm going to stay here with Blair. And this next scene, I mean, be still my heart.
You go for
Chuck
it.
Chuck walks in.
It's your scene.
Blair's horizontal. She's horizontal crying. She's being sad. And she tells him she's not in the mood for whatever bullshit he's about to bring to the party. And he's like, well, I just want to give you a gift. And he opens up this big ass jewelry box, and she goes, oh, the Erickson Beeman necklace. He got her the diamond necklace. It was him, not even her mom. Crazy. And again, I know, remember, this is that gift that she like low-key couldn't believe, like this was the reach gift, and he got it for her as their first gift, as not even a real couple yet. Oh my God. So she's like, I couldn't. And he's like, yes you can, and puts it on her, and she looks in the mirror, and he says, something this beautiful deserves to be seen on someone worthy of its beauty. I really am sorry. And then he goes to like touch the necklace. And as he goes to touch the necklace, she grabs his hand, and then he just kisses her shoulder softly. And it's just like this sweet moment. And then it's not so sweet. First they're sweet, then they're sour.
Serena goes to check on Blair and opens the door. And what do her wondering eyes does appear?
What do her wondering eyes does appear? But Blair and Chuck, kind of acting the way Serena and Dan acted in Vanessa's coffee shop in the beginning of the episode.
Literally. And Serena's she like, just closes the door,
like,
and she's
this is
like,
not oh appropriate. Serena's making it all about her. She's like, what am I going to do about Blair and Chuck? What am I going to do? She is like mad. I'm like, girl,
yeah, it's
shut
crazy.
Up. She's like, this is so unfair to Nate. You know, that's what she's going to be like. I got to go tell Nate about this. Like, Nate would want to hear it from me. He would want to hear it.
And Dan's probably holed up with Vanessa by now.
Yeah, and on her Vespa anyway. God, and he knows I love Vespas. Nate never would have made that kind of mistake, and Nate really needs a friend right now, and Blair's not being one. Anyway, so that's the episode, you guys. And our episode next week, talk about iconic. It's our first ever Thanksgiving Gossip Girl episode.
I thought it was, yes. It's called Blair Waldorf Must Pie.
Blair Waldorf Must Pie! Exactly. Do you want to read the description, the synopsis?
Well, yes. Rufus and Lily are put in an awkward situation when Dan invites Serena and her family to spend Thanksgiving with his family. Blair freaks out when she finds out her father isn't coming home for the holidays, and Nate has an awkward Thanksgiving dinner with his family, which soon spirals out of control.
This episode is daggers to the chest. It's laughter. It's heartbreak. It's joy. It's grief all in one. It's really a wonderful episode. So lots to look forward to, you guys. Things to also look forward to, our new Patreon. So go check it out. Go join if you haven't joined already. If you want to adjust your subscription, go do that. As always, you can join as a free member and get access to our voice memos. And then also, like, if you join as a free member, you'll get emails, I think, about the episodes we do upload. So if there's one that really piques your interest, you could, like, get an update about that and go listen. So anyway, there's lots there. If you're worried about us going MIA again for a week, the Patreon is really the place to be. Or you can always go stream the Pretty Little Podcast episodes. You know, there's more of us where this came from. Anywho, you guys, another thing you can do for us, comment on this episode. Let us know what you think, even if it's bad, I guess. And then go leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and write a little something, something. Make us smile, make us blush even. And I think that's it. Phoebe, can you think of anything else that they need to know?
Nope.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. We love you guys so much. And we will see you next week. And splash. You feel good? I feel fucking hot.